Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, we ask, are you one of the 49% of Americans who fib about the availability of Wi-Fi while on vacation? Also, which airports are the worst for security lines? We have a list and you can see it online.
At 3:20, we make you a smarter buyer of travel insurance. Now, what if you're one of the many people with pre-existing condition? Can you be insured? Is travel insurance a good deal or a scam? We have some answers.
At 3:35, Chris Delfino from the Apple Hill Association joins us to share how to visit one of our most popular tourist spots and not have to fight the big weekend crowds. Hot cider, warm apple fritters, beautiful pies makes me want to leave right now.
And I'm with you there. The people at Make-A-Wish have been making kids' dreams come true for a long time. And at 3:50, Michelle Sanders from the local chapter joins us to tell you how your unused or forgotten airline miles can help kids who are in big battles.
And if you collect airline miles, please hang around for that story. We cover the world of travel like no one else. Thank you for tuning in to The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Look to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
With the show.
Hey, welcome everyone. Look what you found on your radio. Another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. I'm Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman to my left. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, which just happens to be, if it's okay if I say it, Mark's company.
I was just about to go get a rag. Because when you said, look what you found on your radio, and I thought maybe we had to wipe something off of the radio.
Yeah, there you go.
Before we started the program there. But a good thing I didn't leave the room because, as it turned out, it was just a figure of speech.
There you go. I have a lot of those. Well, it's another fabulous Sunday. We got a lot of stuff to cover. We often start and talk about where Mark has traveled to, but traveling, it hasn't been a lot of what's been going on with him recently.
After
but
12 hours in the airport in O'Hare on Sunday, yes, wasn't that a joy? On the way to O'Hare,
yes,
it was a much better journey because the folks who have the new lounges out there invited me to stop by and say hi.
That's what I wanted to ask about. What did you think of the, first of all, which lounge you were in, A or B?
I was in A with the legacy carriers, United, Delta, American, and who else is over there? I think that's it. The lounge is nice. They're small. I was there in the morning. There was two or three different little bite things, you know, kind of, a, you know how Starbucks sells those egg bite things? They had something like that.
Right.
And they had two or three different things there and some fresh fruit. And so, you know, you could get a little nosh before you got on the plane if that's what you were looking for. And escape from the crowds. And it's very nice and very pleasant. It's $45 right now. There are not too many ways to get around that. They haven't got too many deals yet. If you're American Express, I think it's a Centurion card holder while you get in for free. But traditionally, these lounges will hook up deals with some of the frequent flyer programs with some of the airlines, or there's a thing called Priority Pass that many road warriors have that I'm sure people listening to this are aware of. And oftentimes, you can use your priority pass to get in to places like that. That's not available yet, but they are very nice facilities. And if you found yourself with a lot of time at the airport and you wanted to get some work done, you wanted someplace quiet, maybe that your whole life had been a zoo for the last two or three days and you just needed someplace to escape, especially now, there aren't a lot of people in them yet because they're brand new.
Mm-hmm.
But really nice lounges. There is alcohol in them. You could have, after 6 o'clock in the morning, you can get a Bloody Mary or something if you want to. Careful.
And here again, for your $45, you can whatever you want to drink and whatever they have available for you to eat.
Right, right. Okay. And there was a variety of things, more than just your standard airline club. Mm-hmm. I thought it was very impressive, and it was really, really clean. I mean, it's new, But still, it was really, really clean. And I kind of looked around and in corners and stuff like that just to kind of see, because I'm a little bit of a... I'm not a germaphobe, but I like things to be clean. Is that
Mark
making sense?
Mark gave it the white glove treatment.
I did, and they passed.
All right, that's
so
good.
So it was very nice. They are going to send us some passes. And so next week or the week after, we'll have a little contest on the air and give our listeners an opportunity to win some passes to go into the new lounges at Sacramento Airport.
Well, that'll be nice. That'll be the day I'll not want to show up, but be a caller in.
You will not be eligible to win. And don't try to get Stephanie to call in and win for you.
Doggone it. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. You can follow along with us at travelguysradio.com. Lots of stuff there that you'll find interesting to make you a smarter traveler. And, of course, links to any of the guests that we have on the program. You can find their website and such at travelguysradio.com as well. Right now, though, as we always do at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on the travel news. Mark?
Well, we talked about airports with the worst TSA wait times. What do you think, Tom, is the airport at, and I know you don't travel all over the country, but
well, I'm just going to make a guess based on knowing you.
Uh-huh.
O'Hare.
That would have been one of my guests. O'Hare is in the top 20. This one doesn't surprise me. Newark.
Okay.
Is the worst.
That was going to be my next guess.
Average wait time at Newark is 23 minutes to get through regular security. Worst maximum wait time, 60 minutes. So, and then this goes down, average wait time all the way down to the 25th airport on the list is Salt Lake City, which is average wait time 9 minutes and worst wait time 26 minutes. The best thing about this list, though, is not the average wait times. The best thing about this list is, look at this, Tom, worst times to arrive. So, in other words, what they're telling you is at each one of these airports that are on the longest line list, here's the time when the lines are the worst and you're likely to find this maximum wait time. So, and it's really interesting because, for example, San Francisco is Wednesday between 10 and 11 o'clock.
In the morning?
Now, Wednesday is normally a quieter travel day.
I would think so.
So maybe TSA just doesn't staff as well on those days. San Diego, same thing. It's a 10 to 11 o'clock, but on a Monday. Seattle-Tacoma, same thing. That same window, 10 to 11 o'clock, but on a Friday. And, you know, and we tell people that frequently the busiest times are early times in the morning. But this list doesn't hold that up. Only a couple of the airports report their busiest time as being the earliest time of the day.
Well, we might have to ask Sid and Dale with the TSA is if there is a relationship between staffing and wait times.
You would think. I mean, if you ran a restaurant or grocery store or any other business, you would try to staff according to, I'm sure they have budgets and things that they have to meet. You don't want too much overtime and stuff like that. But I found this really interesting. We have posted the list at travelguysradio.com. Our friend Ed Perkins wrote the story. And so it really is interesting. And it's interesting to note that Sacramento is not anywhere on this list, which is probably the most important thing to mention, is that when it comes to long TSA lines, Sacramento is not anywhere on the top 25.
Yes.
So that's a good thing to know. Americans lie about Wi-Fi access on vacation. Now, you just took a vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah? Did you tell your friends and family, I'm someplace in San Antonio where there is no Wi-Fi?
You know, generally speaking, if you bring it up in conversation or whatever, it occurs on the negative side. Mm-hmm. Nobody goes, oh, man, I was on holiday and I was at the so-and-so and the Wi-Fi was screaming.
It was heaven because there was no Wi-Fi.
You don't even bring it up. But no, it's not usually something. I will discuss things like how nice the room was and how cordial the people that took care of you was. Here again, I'm not going for business. Uh-huh. So the internet speed and all of that means nothing to me.
Wow. This is interesting. 59% of millennials are likely to say when they're on vacation that, oh gosh, I couldn't check my email because the signal wasn't strong enough. And then it goes down from there. So it's not surprising that the millennials are a little higher because they are the most technology-oriented group, demographic group. Some, a quarter of Americans, make it a point to go on vacation in places where they won't be affected by bad cell or Wi-Fi service. So half of the people tell their office, oh, yeah, I'm really sorry I didn't get back to you yesterday, but I didn't have a signal. A quarter of the people make sure they go someplace where they absolutely would get back to the office because they have a signal, which leaves a quarter of the people in the muckety-muck, I guess.
But, you know, you're traveling maybe for business, pleasure, whatever. Mm-hmm. How do you go about making sure that you're going to have good service? You expect the people at the hotel that you're going to stay at to be truthful, or for that matter, even knowledgeable about what kind of bandwidth you're going to be getting and what that's going to be like?
Probably because they hear it from the guests all the time. If their signal is bad, if the natural cell signal in their area is where their lodge is located is bad, they're going to know it by the second day you work there because people are going to be complaining about it all the time.
That's true, but are they going to share that with people who call in and say, by the way, I'm coming there.
Yeah, well,
what's your Wi-Fi like there?
I would hope so. Because otherwise, when you get there, if somebody told you that it was great and it's not, why, then you're not going to be very happy. Why would you set yourself up for
that? Well, most of them will say, yeah, we have Wi-Fi.
Yeah, we have.
It's free.
It's free, yeah.
It's free.
Well, and if they have their own Wi-Fi and you can use it, it's usable, then usually that will get you there. But anyway, a lot of folks lie.
Yeah, the bottom line is a lot of folks lie, and the other one is you're going to hear it mostly from millennials.
From millennials, yeah. Yeah. And also probably from really older people who have no idea how to log on to the internet when it's not their own computer. And so that gets them off the hook. What's really interesting is that some people have been told, you know, by their children or their grandchildren to, Grandma, you need to carry a cell phone because we need to be able to get a hold of you. And so they go out and get mm-hmm. Grandma a cell phone and she carries it. Mm-hmm. The only problem is that Grandma never turns the cell phone on. So that's the other part of the, if you're in this position, make sure that when you communicate the importance of having the technology-related device that you relate the importance of turning it on. And then the other thing you need to tell them is how to charge it, because, of course, if they turn it on for a couple of days, then they're going to need to be able to charge it. Norwegian Cruise Line bans decorations on stateroom doors. Now, when I got this the other day, I went down the hall of the office, and I took a little survey from my staff, and I said, what's up with this? Do people really decorate? And my staff says, oh, yeah, people decorate the doors of their staterooms on cruise ships. And oftentimes, if you're part of an affiliated group, or if it's Marie's birthday, you know, somebody will go and put a great big something on Marie's door or something like that. Well, the cruise ship says that there's two problems with that. A lot of the materials that you use for those things are flammable, and so that's not good. And then the other thing is that people put little things on people's doors. Well, the hallways are not that wide on cruise ships, and people walk by and they knock them off, and then people are prone to step on them, and, you know, I guess there's some liability factors there. So anyway, Norwegian Cruise Lines has banned decorations on stateroom doors.
Wow, okay.
What is this world coming to? That's what one of
my
staff
said.
Well,
I'm canceling that birthday cruise right now.
There will be no fun on Norwegian Cruise Line cruises because you cannot decorate your stateroom door. You are, however, welcome to run naked down the hallway. As long as it's not involving your door, you can do anything that you like.
There you go. That's safe.
Travel agent is accused of scamming multiple California residents. This is from KTVU down in the Bay Area. Lady says she was supposed to travel to Hawaii this month to celebrate her friend's 25th anniversary, but instead is out a little over $10,000. And so without getting into this in great detail, I got a hold of Gwen Duncan and said, Gwen, why don't you come down here? Let's talk about when somebody's never worked with a travel agent before, how do you establish that level of trust? And how do you know that a home-based travel agent is going to take your check and send it to the cruise line and not put it in their bank account and never send it to the cruise line, and you'll not have any travel when it comes time? So anyway, little scam like that going on out of the Bay Area. So we'll ask Gwen about it next time we talk to her. And finally here, a Cold War air tragedy that gave the world GPS. This is kind of interesting. Back in 1993, Ronald Reagan signed an executive order allowing civilians to use the U.S. military's global positioning system. The history-changing move came in response to, you might remember this, Tom, the downing of Korean Air Flight 007, which had mistakenly veered into Soviet airspace while flying from Kennedy to Seoul and via Anchorage, and they had gone off track. And this system had previously been only used by the military, but because of it, they felt that this plane, if they'd had use of this system, they might not have veered off track and all these people wouldn't have been killed. And so they made it available to the military. It wasn't until 1995 that it became available to the U.S. public. So there would be no Uber today. Kind of an interesting story that it was actually a terrible tragedy in the air that caused the government to think that maybe this might be useful to people here in these United States. So sorry to end on a bummer note, but there are lots of connections to cool things at travelguysradio.com, including some things that we don't mention in the news. And that's your travel news for today.
Coming up right after the break, we're going to make you a smarter buyer of travel insurance. Stick around for that next here on The Travel Guys.
Country roads, take me home to the place.
Here we are, on the old dusty country road with the Travel Guys. If you're just tuning in, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys here every Sunday, 3 to 4. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, and you can check us out at travelguysradio.com. We're going to spend between now and the bottom of the hour talking about the wonderful and somewhat dreaded, and gee, I don't know whether to buy it or not, travel insurance. Mark, help us out.
Well, the biggest thing, let me first share a little thing. This was on Chris Elliott's website, elliott.org, where you go if you have a challenge with a travel supplier and you need some help. Somebody to advocate for you, or you need to know how to advocate for yourself. Elliott.org, I recommend. Here's a letter to the editor. It doesn't matter what the letter was, but here's the PS that the guy threw in. I understand why you recommend travel insurance for infrequent travelers, but as a pro, in quotes, I never get it. Never, meaning I never get travel insurance. The very few times I've had big snafus or emergencies, most places are accommodating and airlines have obnoxious but manageable change fees. And American Express Platinum offers other emergency services. I'd rather be out 5 to 10% of a trip's cost once every 50 trips than pay 5 to 10% extra every time for insurance. Okay. First thing I want to just... A couple things. I had a customer one time who I had to call him up on the phone and say, you're going to lose about $1,500 off of this $3,000 payment for you and your wife for a trip because you canceled late. And unfortunately, there's a lot of this we can't get back. And he said, don't worry about it. He said, just be fair. I never take cancellation insurance or protection. I knew that someday I would probably get hit like this. So I figure I'm still money ahead. Fine. But this gentleman who's saying, I'd rather be out 5 to 10% of a trip's cost on a rare occasion because of an emergency and not being able to go, than pay 5 to 10% each time for insurance. And that's about right. Travel insurance runs... should never cost you more than 10% of the trip unless you've got some kind of really special situation. But 6, 7, 8% is about what of your trip is about what travel insurance should cost. But this guy is saying he'd rather be out 5 to 10% of the trip occasionally than pay that much. And what I'm going to tell him is that when he's just been lucky so far. When he gets hit, it's going to be more than 5 or 10%.
I was going to say, you know, you could lose 100% or certainly lose half of it.
Well, he's saying, I'll lose my airline ticket less $200 and I'll lose the first night of my hotel stay. But what if he's on a cruise
right.
and the ship sails?
Mm-hmm.
Or what if he had theater tickets two nights in a row in New York City that maybe it was a popular show and, you know, theater tickets now are about $100.50. And if you go to a show that's just hit Broadway or something, you're buying on the secondary market, you could pay $200 or $300 for tickets. So it wouldn't be uncommon for somebody to have a couple nights worth of theater tickets for two people in New York City to be $1,000 worth of theater tickets. Or you're going to some special event that's only going to happen once and you have tickets for it and there's no way really to replace the tickets. You just are not going to be able to go. So my wisdom to folks is if you're a perfectly healthy person and you buy a normal travel package, particularly a domestic travel package, and you feel like that, hey, you know, I want to take this risk and consistently, I don't have anything wrong with me. I'm not going to buy travel insurance. I'm down with that. But if you have one of these, what's called a pre-existing condition, and a pre-existing condition, according to travel companies, according to insurance companies, one of them means any injury, sickness, or condition for which medical advice, diagnosis, care, or treatment was recommended or received within the 180-day period ending on your date of departure. So basically 6 months before you leave. Here's another one with an exclusion period of 120 days. You can't have seen a doctor about this particular item 120 days before. Here's an example. Lady's husband has a surgery. Let's say he falls and breaks his collarbone and he has a surgery. He's also a diabetic. Okay. His diabetes hasn't given him any problems. He takes medication for it. He's had it for quite some time. The diabetes is insurable and he can buy protection against that. But the collarbone that he broke, until it's been healed for a specific amount of time, they're not going to touch it. So that's an example of a pre-existing condition, the diabetes, being insurable, because if you haven't been treated for it recently, then you're okay, you're off the hook. So be very careful with these things. Most travel insurance companies would do anything to keep from paying a claim. So I really strongly recommend, if you are in a situation where you think you need some kind of insurance or protection, you need a really good travel agent or travel advisor that you can sit down with who will explain to you what the coverages are and who will look and will call and ask questions about your specific situation, because otherwise you're likely to end up with some coverage that won't protect you. The other thing that travel insurance does, if you're going to a really exotic destination or something, consider it, because getting out of that destination, if you have a problem, could be a monumental task. Maybe planes don't fly every day. Maybe they're not regular aircraft. Maybe only boats can take you out. Maybe you have to go on a Zodiac. If you broke a leg or something like that, think about what those situations might mean. If you're not used to traveling in exotic situations or to exotic destinations, then that's where you want to consider the protection. But you want to make sure when you buy it, that the person selling it to you isn't just making a commission and sending you out the door, but they really know what they're talking about. Really, really, really critical.
You ever found yourself in a position to need insurance?
I haven't bought it yet, but I'm getting to the point in my life where I would consider it. And I'm not a real exotic traveler. I don't go to Machu Picchu and climb to 12,000 feet and maybe get into a situation that I'm not used to. So I'm a fairly cautious traveler. You know, a day at the ballpark in a foreign city to me is something that's pretty cool.
All right, coming up, by the way, visit us at travelguysradio.com. You can find more information about travel insurance there. Up next, special interview with Chris Delfino from Apple Hill. We're going to talk about how to avoid the crowds and enjoy Apple Hill at its finest. That's coming up right here on The Travel Guys. Thanks for joining us. We're going to take a short break for the news, and then we'll be back, so stick around.
All the leaves are brown.
One of my favorites of all time, Mamas and the Papas there. You got some California dreaming in you, Mark?
Some California dreaming. Yeah. There are some great places to visit in this state.
I know, and one of them is, you know, people travel, I don't know, and would have to ask Chris, what's the furthest someone has traveled to enjoy, you know, a place as beautiful and as much fun and as yummy?
Well, that's the fun.
As Apple Hill.
And you can take your family there, and it doesn't cost you a fortune. And the only problem is, I think, as Chris is about to tell us here, is that too much of a good thing can be a bit of a problem. Chris Delfino from the Apple Hill Association is with us on The Travel Guys. Chris, welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be talking with you guys.
Well,
it is that time of season.
It absolutely is. It pretty soon, the weather's going to cool just a little bit, and people are going to start thinking about heading up to Apple Hill, and we don't want Apple Hill to befall the same fate that happened to another hill known as Daffodil Hill in the spring. You guys are trying to manage an awful lot of people up there. Tell us how you're going to do it this year.
Well, you know, first of all, we really don't have a problem in September and in November, and the apples are beautiful then too. Apples are come due all through the whole season, but during those crazy times in October, what we've done, and we've done a good job, we have CHP instead of a flag guy, a young guy that's 16 years old with a flag that no one pays attention to. They tend to pay attention to CHP a little bit more. And they're going to be working at the kind of pinch points that our kind of crowd really loads up. We've also have increased parking at some of the bigger farms, have increased a lot of parking. And Carson Road will not be closed now. That was a huge problem with the shuttle. We took that out. So you're going to see a much faster flow this year compared to last year. We learned our lesson. Let's put it that way.
So, Chris, you're saying October weekends, but really and truly, if people can make that trek during the week, and the only reason I say this is because I've been sending my busloads of people up there on the way many years ago on the way to Lake Tahoe, now just for a day trip buzzing around the hill on weekdays for years and years and years. And that if there is one secret to beating the crowds, really and truly, if you can go Monday through Friday, that's the secret.
right. It's only 8 days that are really bad in October, the weekends. And all the other weekends are good in September. We're all opening up next week, all 50 farms. You're right, weekdays, Monday through Friday, is just, you can, no lines, just as beautiful as those weekends, and you can get all the goodies you want. And we have a lot of good goodies in these 50 farms.
Okay, before we go someplace else here, Tom's got his hand up too. Let me ask you, if you have to go on the weekend, there's no other way to avoid it, what's the best tip for going on the weekend?
Okay, well, on September and October and November, just come up, and no problem. But if it is in October, late September, October, mornings, get up here in the morning. We all open up. Everybody's opened up by 9 a.m. You get up around 9, 10 o'clock, and you're going to beat the crowd.
There you go.
And you just do that, and you'll beat them.
You'll be heading home when they're heading up. Yes, Thomas.
That's right.
Yeah, Chris, you're opening up this weekend. Does that mean are you going to be open for Saturday through the holiday?
Yes, we are.
Okay, so that's the first official opening weekend.
We're all open because we're picked. The apples are due. It's everything that they're drinking or eating pie is all raised right here, nothing shipped in. So we picked our Honeycrisp and Macintosh and some of the early apples like Gala are all being picked now, so we're all opening up. Yep.
Okay, so besides, there's apples, and that's fine. Apples are good, but there are yummier things than apples up on the hill. You're up there, Chris. You must have some kind of a favorite or something. There must be something some food, whether it's at your place or the place next door or the one down the street. What's your favorite Apple Hill seasonal yummy?
Well, I'll be honest. The walking pie my mom made years ago is famous up here with that alamode on it. I'll tell you, it is an awesome, awesome pie. But I'll be honest. I'm a donut guy. You go to Rainbow Orchards or you go to High Hill, and their donuts are to die for.
You're talking to the donut guy here.
Oh,
so.
My God. I'll tell you, Chris, Rainbow Orchard is always that's where we get our apple donuts. And they're making them right there fresh.
Right there.
With a little apple cider, I'll tell you.
Sometimes the donuts are still warm.
Apple fritters are still warm. You're holding one, and it's still warm.
What a great place also to do a little Christmas shopping and stuff like that, because a lot of the farms up there have gift shops and things where you can buy other things besides just apples.
Well, I know Jerry Visiman at High Hill has a lot of gift shops, but so do the other ones. Abel's do, and they have horse rides at Abel's and gift shops. A lot of the farms do. The uniqueness is all 50 farms have a little something different. Like right now, there's some of the smaller ones are doing U-Pick in September, and a lot of people like to pick their own apples. It's a joyous thing for the kids to be part of, right?
That's pretty cool. I watch families in the Pacific Northwest pick berries from time to time, so I'm sure apples are the same way.
Yeah, a tip to the guys that go up there with their wives and maybe their children, and you're visiting the, either at High Hill or one of the other ranches where they have people are selling homemade crafts, earrings, and specialty things. What you do is you follow a few feet behind the wife. And
yeah,
she'll go over and she'll look at this and she'll look at that. And you know she wants to buy it, but especially there'll be certain ones that will be real intriguing. And she'll go, well, maybe I'll come back. And then she'll wander off. And what you do is you excuse yourself somewhere along the road. So, excuse me, I'm going to run to the restroom, or I'm going to go get an apple or whatever. Uh-huh. And you sneak back to that booth and you snatch that item. And you stash it away, and now you got Christmas and maybe even a birthday present that'll be a huge surprise, because more than likely she's not going to come back for it. What's that, Chris?
Right. If you're ever in trouble, like you did, you were home late, you missed a dinner,
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You've got one banked sort of there. If you're tips from Tom Romano of how to get yourself out of the hole.
Well, that wasn't the idea, but you know what I mean.
No, but it's the perfect. It is the perfect example of an opportunity. Apple Hill really is. I guess the point of all of this is that it really is a family destination, and it doesn't cost you a lot of money. You don't have to pay buy a $50 all attraction ticket or something like that.
Nope.
To go up to Apple Hill, you're going to find that the vendors and the growers up there have things at very reasonable prices. You can take the family up there and have a very good time for the day at a very fair price.
Right, the hard cider is a big thing now, and a lot of places have it. There are our own apples, our own berries, and so for people that want to have a beverage of that kind. So we have a lot of new attractions for the adults and for the children, like the animals, baby doll sheep we have at our farm, and people like like those, you know, animals to see chickens and rabbits and goats and things like that. And they could see a farm, and they're not that far from it.
Yeah, you still have the place with the three-legged chicken?
You know what? I think he moved on.
Oh, doggone it.
Place for city kids to come and see a little bit of the farm. Chris, anything else you want to share with us before we send you on your way?
You know, I just want everybody to understand, this year we knew we had a little bit of a traffic problem last year, and we have solved that problem. So come up here, and don't be in a hurry. All 50 farms are open arms to all of you guys. And remember, everything you see, every pie, everything that you drink, everything was made right here in Apple Hill. And so you know that it's of the best quality. And come up. We're looking forward to seeing you this weekend.
Chris Delfino from the Apple Hill Association, thank you, my friend, for joining us on the Travel Guys.
You guys both take it easy. Don't forget to come up.
All right.
Eat, and eat.
All right. You know I will. That's for sure. In fact, last year, I think it was, the wife and I, we back when we were younger and we had full-time jobs and only things like Labor Day and Memorial Day are is enough time for you to get married, right? So we got married on that weekend. And, we always make a run up to Apple Hill. And Chris is absolutely right. Even though this is a holiday weekend, mm-hmm. for whatever the reason, because it's still hot and kind of warm, people don't really think Apple Hill. They always kind of wait until it starts to cool down, and then they're starting to think about pies and apples. But this is a perfect weekend. I bet you if you ran up there this weekend, even though it's the first weekend that they've opened, it'll be smooth sailing.
Chris mentioned High Hill Ranch, which is a place that has accommodated our motor coach groups for, mm-hmm. yeah. gosh, close to 40 years.
Yeah.
And so a special shout out to those people who have taken care of Sports Leisure Travelers for a long time. If you are looking for, gosh, I don't even know, we have a trip to go up to Apple Hill on a weekday in early October at Sports Leisure Vacations, and I don't even know if it's full or not, so I won't even suggest it here because I don't know if there's any space available on it. Apple Hill, truly one of the great local attractions, and please, if you go up there, we had a situation with Daffodil Hill where people just went up there and overwhelmed this poor, small family ranch. This isn't quite the same situation. This is a whole region. There are 50 ranches involved instead of just one, but remember when you get up there, you're mostly around people. It might be your neighbor that you're honking at there. So just exhale, relax a little bit. And if you can go a time other than a weekend in October, then you will find yourself pick like the second weekend in November. You might have to take a jacket, but there'll be a lot fewer people up there. And what a great time to go Christmas shopping. When we get back, we've got that great interview with the folks from Make-A-Wish. Are you a Make-A-Wish person?
I am. It's one of my my favorite charities to be a part of. And we got a great interview with Michelle Sanders. That's coming up. She's with a local chapter, and you'll hear it next here on The Travel Guys. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for being with us. Look, all that we talk about and the links to our guests can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com.
Tom, our guest today is Michelle Sanders. Michelle is the Vice President of Communications and Outreach for Make-A-Wish, the Northeastern and Central California and Northern Nevada chapter of Make-A-Wish. Michelle, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you for having me.
Michelle, the reason I asked you to be on our program today is because Make-A-Wish has an ongoing program, but right now a specific need for airline miles. And there's a way that people can donate miles to you. And, not only do those of us who are road warriors get a lot of airline miles, but sometimes there are folks who take one trip and the miles are sitting in their account and they're about to expire or something like that. Wow, wouldn't this be an awesome way to be able to make those miles go to use? So tell us a little bit. I think probably most of our audience knows a little bit about Make-A-Wish, but tell us about this program and why you need the airline miles.
So as you can imagine, a good portion of our wishes granted are for travel wishes. As a matter of fact, more than 75% are travel wishes. And, you think about a child, what they've been through, and this just provides the child and the family a sense of normalcy and really gets them away from the hospital visits, doctor visits, et cetera. So it's a huge help, as you mentioned, if people have air miles just sitting there doing nothing, we would love to be able to help grant these wishes.
Now, tell us a little bit about Make-A-Wish's mission. I've been involved in some of your fundraisers for many years, so I'm kind of familiar with the program. Generally, am I correct? You're here to help children with terminal or very serious illnesses to help their wishes come true.
You know, that's actually a misconception. We did start out in 1980 to grant wishes to children who were terminal, but in the last few years, with all the advances in medicine, we found that wishes just really can turn a child's whole outlook around. And so, what our mission right now is to grant wishes to children with critical illnesses. So their life has been threatened within a year, or they're currently going through treatment, and boy, we just see quite an impact these wishes have on these children and their families.
Wow, I can only imagine. What a terrific idea. You know, I'm in the tour business. A lot of my travelers are older folks. And as you get up in years, you know, you're retired, you're not looking forward to going work every day. So you're looking forward to perhaps going on the road, making a trip, going someplace that you've always wanted to go to. And I've found over the years that hope and enthusiasm and the possibility of going someplace that you've always wanted to go is really an incredible driver for people. People will make incredible compromises with their bodies to be able to get to that one place that they would want to go. So I can, flipping that around a little bit, I can only imagine the impact that something like that would have on a child who is facing a really long haul, and the power of hope.
You know, we have witnessed that anecdotally. Our chapter has been here since 1983, and we see just miracles happen all the time because of a wish. But, you know, there's been studies done in the last few years that speaks to that directly, and there seems to be definitely a correlation between a wish, providing that hope, as you said, and really turning the child's health around. And in fact, you know, like I said, we see this all the time. And so folks can be helping with these life-changing wishes. And, you know, doctors are starting to prescribe these wishes as part of the treatment protocol. So that's very exciting.
Michelle, if folks want to donate miles, we have put a link at travelguysradio.com to the Make-A-Wish website that will take them there. And once they get there to donate their miles, and I want to tell you that you can donate as few as 1,000 miles with most airlines, 2,000 Southwest points. So this doesn't have to be a big donation. And maybe if you were making a donation, you might, you know, call a friend and ask them to make a donation. I mean, if you're sitting on 250,000 miles or something, what would 10 or 20,000 miles difference make to you? So this would be a way to be able to. And again, if you're somebody who has some miles that are about to expire, heaven forbid, don't let them expire, because we can do something good with them. So they can go to the website and make a donation. But Michelle, once they get there, there's something important for them to do if they want to help kids in our chapter.
It is. So go to the website and they'll have the option. There will be a drop down to donate miles to the specific area. And so in our region, it's the Northeastern California and Northern Nevada chapter. It's probably the longest Make-A-Wish chapter, but you'll be helping to grant those wishes locally to our children.
Awesome. Awesome. Make-A-Wish has been around for a long time. You've done a lot of amazing things. You've helped a lot of kids. Please don't be afraid to reach out to us if there's any way that that we can help in the future. TravelGuysRadio.com. You can find the Make-A-Wish link and donate a few miles. And wouldn't that be an awesome thing? Michelle, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
You know, a lot of people accumulate miles from travel, and just because they signed up for it, they take a look at it and they realize, you know, this really isn't enough for me to do anything with. I mean, it's hardly would pay for a half a flight.
Yeah.
But if you aren't going to use them and they're just going to go to waste, and if this would be a perfect opportunity to give them to somebody who is getting miles from other locations. And now that 1,000 points that you had that wouldn't get anything is added in with several other people's 1,000. And now you're flying somebody for their a child for their dream to come true trip. And you know, you physically had an impact.
Yep.
Yep. You know, I think this
is
great.
And also, if you've got a big pile of miles sitting around, you know, some of us earn lots and lots and lots of miles. And if 10,000 of them disappeared tomorrow, you'd never notice it. It would be a blip. So what a wonderful opportunity.
And with that being said, you know, speaking to you, those of you that are listening that may have businesses, and you fly your people to business trips all over the country. You're purchasing them on the business credit card. You have a business account. You're getting rewards, points rewards along the way. You've amassed a lot of them. Here's an opportunity for your business to contribute to Make-A-Wish, to do great things for others, and hardly notice that it happened.
You can go to travelguysradio.com, and there you'll see a description of this week's show. You'll also see next to it highlights from this week. And if you go down to the third item there, give a child a world of hope with a life-changing wish trip, you can click on that, and that will give you the opportunity to be able to find out a little bit more. Make-A-Wish folks have done a great job for a long time. So it's certainly an organization that is worthy of support.
I liked your question because, you know, her answer and the misconception, I think, is one that a lot of people have, that that this all Make-A-Wish is all about helping dying children out with
terminally ill
children with their final wish.
Right.
Where in fact these trips actually regenerate. They give you new life. They give you new hope, and oftentimes they help cure you.
Exactly. I mean, and also for a family or something. I mean, the child is sick, and so it impacts the whole family. And so if you've got an opportunity to be able to give everybody a little bit of a rebound or something like that, I mean, what a great opportunity. Just a really good organization. TravelGuysRadio.com. Click on the Give a Child a World of Hope with a Life-Changing Wish trip. I've noticed something, TSA, Tom, this week. We're going to be talking about this a lot. I'm sure we'll have our friends, Dale and Sid, in to talk to us about this, about the Real ID. Because by October 1st of next year, in order to get on an airplane, you're going to need this Real ID. So if you are coming up, if your driver's license has to be renewed anytime between now and next October, you really want to renew to a Real ID. You don't have to, but otherwise you're going to have to do it again. So if you renew now and you don't get a Real ID, then you'll have to go back and get a Real ID. We're going to do a whole program on this and talk about how you need to get this. But the really critical thing is, do not wait until 3 or 4 months before, because then everybody and their uncle, we already know the DMV has had a hard time keeping up with things anyway under normal circumstances. So if everybody floods in at the last minute to try to make this happen, I can guarantee you there are going to be problems. So if you know you're a traveler, this might be something to do in advance.
I will do it because I had my license renewed back in January and the new IDs were not available. So I will do that in the next month.
Okay.
And then I will...
Oh, that would be great. You can make an appointment along, and you can tell us all how it went.
I also spoke to someone, a close friend, who was going through this process, and there's someone who had been divorced and remarried and divorced and remarried. And they had to prove all of their name changes along the way. They had to go down and hunt down paperwork that showed that they had been divorced.
Goodness gracious.
So there's a lot more to it than meets the eye, and we'll help you out through this.
So next week on the Travel Guys, one of the new airlines in Sacramento, Contour Airlines, which is flying to Santa Barbara with a really, Tom, think about an airline that took seats out to give people more comfort.
Unbelievable.
That's what this little regional airline is doing. They're also going to start service to Palm Springs. Gwen Duncan's going to join us, and we're going to talk about travel agents next week. And when you're picking one, how do you know if you're getting a good one or not? All that next week on the Travel Guys. We'll see you then. Dance like nobody's watching in the meantime.
Stay well. See you next time, folks.